All right, turn your Bibles this morning with me to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. We're going to take a little break from 1 Corinthians until the new year. So we're going to, of course, as we approach the Christmas season, we're going to talk a little bit about the birth of Christ. And we also are going to be having a Christmas play one morning coming up. And so we're looking forward to that. It'll be next week, right? Next Sunday morning, we'll be having our Christmas play. We'll have a devotional with that. But we're getting closer and closer to Christmas. I don't know how it got here so fast, but it did, and it's upon us. So we're going to be looking this morning at the birth of Christ, or at least the prophecy of his birth, in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. And so let's look at verse 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent up from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then in verse 36, he says, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, which is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. Verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We're thankful for the text. We ask for your blessings upon it. Guide and direct throughout the message. Use this for your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the verses we've read today, the angel Gabriel told Mary, of course, that she was highly favored, that she was blessed among women, and truly she was. Gabriel told her why she was so blessed by giving her 8 prophecies concerning the child that she was about to have. Now, all this was a surprise to Mary, but he wanted to let her know that the child she would be giving birth to was going to be a special child. And if you will, I want to look at that once again in verses 31 through 33. So turn there with me, Luke chapter 1, and then verse 31 again. He says, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, to sum up what the angel said to Mary there, Gabriel was telling her that she had been chosen by God to be the virgin mother of the Messiah, and that his name was to be called Jesus. This morning, we're going to look at Jesus, our Messiah. The word Messiah, by the way, is really a Jewish word. It's not something that we use very often. But it's important to us as well. We identify ourselves as Christians. And what's interesting is the same word, the Messiah and Christian, they're both the same words. And so when we say that we are Christians, really what we're saying is that we are followers of the Christ, or that we are followers of the Messiah. And so when Jesus came to be the Messiah, he wasn't just the Messiah for the nation of Israel, but he was the Messiah for all that would come to him by faith. And so he's our Messiah as well. We're going to look today and just consider the fact that Jesus is our Messiah. In the Old Testament scriptures, we find 3 types of people were anointed by the Lord. By the way, the word Messiah and the word Christ both mean anointed one. And there were three types of people who would have been anointed in the Old Testament. Prophets would have been anointed. Priests would have been anointed. And then we also know that kings would have been anointed. And what the interesting thing about Jesus is that when he came to earth, he fulfilled all three of those roles. He was a prophet, he was a priest, but he was also a king. And as we look forward a little bit to the gifts that the three wise men that we, I know I didn't say three wise men, but the gifts that the wise men brought him, if you remember, they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and all three of those would have symbolized Jesus as being a prophet, a priest, and a king. He was the anointed one. He was the Messiah, our Christ. And in the New Testament, we find that Jesus was, of course, that Christ. He was the anointed one of God and fulfilled all three of those roles. And so he is given the title of Jesus the Christ or Jesus Messiah. That's something I thought was interesting as I was growing in my Christian walk. I always heard Jesus Christ, and I thought that Christ was his last name. But really what it is a title that I guess the real or the more specific way of saying that would be that he is Jesus the Christ. He is Jesus the Messiah, and that's who we're going to look at today. We're going to consider three things about King Jesus. First of all, he was the promised king or the promised Messiah in verses 31 and 32. Now, let's look at those verses once again. He says there in verse 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And then look at verse 32 again. It says, "He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord," look at this, "shall give unto him the throne of his father David," meaning that this son was going to be a king. Now, to a girl who grew up poor in the city of Nazareth, which, by the way, in the book of John, when I think it was Nathanael found out that Jesus was going to be coming from Nazareth, he asked the question, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And so it was evidently he had a reputation for not being just a great place, or it might be like somebody saying, "Can anything good come out of Star City, Arkansas?" And the answer to that question is, we still haven't found that out yet, right? By the way, that's where I'm from, Star City, Arkansas. So somebody might ask that question. Well, I view Nazareth as being a lot like Star City, or around here, maybe you say, "Can any good thing come out of Groveland?" And we're still waiting to see if that's possible as well. If you don't know where Groveland is, look it up. All right, now it's just a little bitty small place outside of Orlando here, not very far away. And so Nazareth is just a real small town. It was kind of a poor little village. And for this girl Mary, who grew up probably in poverty, for her to hear that her son was going to be the Son of the Highest, that he was going to be the king of Israel, to have the throne of his father David would mean that he would be the king of Israel. I'm sure this was something that would have baffled her mind. Now, throughout the Old Testament, prophecies of the coming Messiah were given in vivid detail. The prophecies of the Old Testament foretold who his family would be. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 through 10, we find out that the Messiah was going to come from the tribe of Judah. That's found in chapter 49, verses 8 through 10. We also find later on in the Old Testament that the Messiah was going to come through the lineage of David. And there are several references to the Messiah as being the seed of David or being the branch of David. And so we find in several of the Old Testament scriptures that he was going to come from the lineage or the line of David. Not only that, the Old Testament foretold the city of his birth. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, it says that the Messiah will be born of Bethlehem in Judah. And of course, we know from the New Testament that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And then in Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 through 7, I want you to turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 9. And unless you have electronic Bibles, I want to hear more flipping going on. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And look at this, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of his father, or throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever." Then it says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We see the nature of his reign, that he is going to be a wonderful counselor, that he is going to be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and that he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. All those things are foretold about the Messiah and the holy night of Jesus' birth. All of those promises were fulfilled. He was from the tribe of Judah. He was of the seed of David. He was born in the city of Bethlehem. And God's angel Gabriel brought message that he would be the one whose kingdom God would establish forever. And so the point I want you to get this morning is that Jesus was undeniably the promised Messiah. Now listen, there were several sons. If we go back through history, there were several sons who were also born to the tribe of Judah. There were several who were of the lineage of David, and there were several who were born in Bethlehem. Joseph himself fit all of those things. He was of Judah. He was from the tribe of Judah, of course. He was of the lineage of David. And if you remember, he had to go back to his hometown around the birth of Jesus. And where did he go? He went back to Bethlehem. He would have fit many of those things himself. But, you know, the one thing that none of these other sons had is none of them were born of a virgin. In Isaiah chapter 7, it tells us that Messiah would also be born of a virgin. And that is what we're seeing take place here. Gabriel is going to this virgin named Mary, who proclaims as well, has never been with a man, and yet she is going to be having the Son of God. Because of who Jesus was and what he did, he fulfilled every book, every prophecy, and every word of the Old Testament scriptures. I still don't understand, when we have all the evidence before us, when there's so many verses that point to Jesus, so many things that would have cried out while he was there healing their sick, while he was going through their villages and giving sight to the blind and helping the lame to be able to walk and healing all sorts of diseases and all the things that he did that they saw every single day. I still don't understand how they could not have seen that he was their Messiah. But then again, I believe many of them did see that. And yet they didn't want to believe. And I think there are many today as well. When you hear all the verses, when you hear all the things that we talk about with Jesus, and you see all the evidence of God around us, it's not that people don't see that Jesus is real. It's not that they don't see that he has the power to do everything that God's word tells us he can do. It's that they see it, they just don't want to believe it. And that's something that I've had to come to terms with, through my walk with Christ and as I've tried to counsel with and talk to people about God, is that there are people who are going to hear, there are people who, there's no way you can convince them to believe in the name of God. That's something that, that's something that's got to take place in their own hearts. And until they're ready and willing to believe that, then they're just not going to believe it. And we see the same happening with Israel then as well. That leads us to the next thing, that he was the rejected Messiah as well, or the rejected king. Now, for the years that the Jews awaited the coming Messiah, it was said that the hope of every young Jewish girl is that she would be picked to be that virgin mother of the Messiah that was prophesied in Scripture. The Jews patiently awaited for the desire of all nations, that anointed one, the Messiah, to come and deliver them from their enemies. And they had plenty of those, plenty of enemies that they needed deliverance from. They were waiting for a Messiah to come and set up his kingdom and reign from the throne of his father David to fulfill all of those kingly prophecies that had been given of him. Of course, we know, looking back at history now and in the Gospels as well, that they were under severe oppression from the Roman government. So in those days, they would have been looking for someone who could have come in, a man who might have come and taken that throne of Israel and been able to fight off all of their oppressing forces. And so when Jesus came and did none of those things right away, they, of course, rejected him. When the Messiah finally did come, just as Scripture has foretold, he was not all that they expected or wanted him to be. Instead of coming in as a king, instead of coming in as a mighty warrior, he came in poor and meek and lowly. He was born in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. He was undesirable. The Scripture tells us that there was nothing attractive about him. There was nothing that would have drawn people to him. He was just a plain, everyday, ordinary-looking guy. Undesirable. He was despised, or he despised their religious traditions. It condemned their religious leaders. And so where some of them might have seen the miracles, and some of those Pharisees and Sadducees might have seen the things that were done, because he refused their religion and their traditions, of course, they rejected him as well. He claimed to be sent from God and to be the Son of God. He taught that salvation was the result of repentance and faith in him and not by works of the law. He showed them that he was Messiah through his miracles and teachings, but over and over and over, Israel rejected him. As a matter of fact, John says that he came into his own. That was his nation. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And of course, his final rejection as king was seen at Calvary. I want you to think about for a moment, what went on at Calvary that day? What went on as he was being mocked and beaten and bruised for our sins? I want you to think about what they did to him specifically. Think about this. He was called the King of the Jews. In fact, Pilate made that written in three different languages above his head on the cross there. He was called the King of the Jews, and as they were beating and mocking him, they crowned him with a crown of thorns. They robed him with robes of ridicule. They knelt before him on knees of mockery, and they exalted him on a Roman cross. You want to be high and lifted up, Jesus? We can do that for you. They titled him the King of the Jews. But it was all in mockery. It was all in rejection. You see, the problem is that Jesus wasn't the Messiah that the Jews were looking for. They were looking for the Lion of Judah, but he came as the Lamb of God. They wanted to be delivered from their enemies, but he came to deliver them first from their sins. They wanted a ruler. He came to be their redeemer. Little did they know that their king was right there before their eyes. That leads us to the third thing, is that Jesus is the King of Kings. Now listen, they may have rejected him. He did arrive. He was their king. They may have rejected him, but I want you to know today that Jesus is the King of Kings. Look in Luke chapter 1 and verse 33. It says, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." And look at this. "And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now here's the truth about many things. Just because you don't accept something as being true doesn't mean that it's untrue. Just because a person does not accept God's existence as being true does not make him an untruth. God is true whether you receive it or not. And here's the thing about Christ's kingship. Whether you want to acknowledge that Jesus is king doesn't change the fact that he is king. Amen. And when he came to earth, he came to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just as the angel said, he was given the throne of his father David. After Jesus bore the shame of the cross, he resumed his place in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. And there, He was crowned with a crown of honor. He was robed with robes of majesty. He was worshipped upon knees of reverence and exalted on a throne of glory. And there he was given a title above all names, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I want you to know today that he is the reigning King. Not just of Israel, he is the King of all creation.
Amen.
You know, as long as a king sits on a throne, he's still the king, right?
Right. Amen.
You've got to get him off the throne first in order for another king to be able to come in and take that place. And I want you to know today that Jesus is still on the throne.
Right.
You know what that means? That means he's still the king. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And you've heard it said before, regardless of what goes on in Washington, regardless of what's going on around the globe, regardless of who's in power and who's doing what, and regardless of anything else that is happening, Jesus is still King.
Right.
And not one thing will go on without his permission.
Right.
But know this, as King, one day he is going to return. And he's going to put a stop to all the foolishness that's going on earth right now. And people are going to finally see and recognize that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King will return. He's going to be great. The Bible says that he's going to sit upon the throne of his father David. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob. He's going to reign over Israel. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron, meaning that all existing nations are going to fall under his lordship. His kingdom will have no end. And one day all will bow before him as king.
Amen.
You know, I love the book of Philippians. Chapter 2, verses 5 down through, I think it's about verse 9 or verse 10. It tells us that Jesus, when he came to earth, it says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Right.
Meaning that he was pre-existing in heaven as king.
Right.
But when he came to earth, what he did is he set all of those robes of glory, he set that crown of glory aside, and took on the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men.
Right.
And the verses tell us that as a man, he also became obedient to the death of a man. But instead of just dying of natural causes, he died the death of the cross.
Right.
Meaning that as a man, he became our sacrifice.
Right.
He died in our place. But those verses also tell us something else. It says that after all that happened, after he finished the job that he was sent here to do, he ascended back to glory. And one day, every knee is going to bow. And every mouth is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what it says after that. It says that they're going to do this to the glory of the Father. And I'll tell you this, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is King, that's going to be to God's glory. But I'm going to tell you what I also think that means. I think that means that people are going to bow the knee to Jesus. And they are going to confess that He is Lord until God gets tired of hearing it.
I don't think He'll get tired.
Do
I? I don't think He'll get tired.
You don't think He'll get tired? But every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. And there are many who will say, well, that's not going to be me on that day. Every knee shall bow. The question is, what happens to you after that? You see, we're given just a space of time here on earth. So here's the truth about it. You can bow a knee to Him now while you're here. Or you will be forced to bow a knee to Him one day. And I promise you, you don't want to be there. But every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The point of the message today is to help you to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. He's not just someone who's going to come and be Messiah one day. He is the Messiah. He is the King. Now, the question that I have for you today is this. Number one, have you received Him as Savior? Have you trusted Him as Savior? And if you have, then the next question is, have you made Him the King of your life? And I think there is a difference there. Because sometimes we can be guilty of wanting to take what it is that He has to offer without submitting ourselves under His authority. But I want you to know that if Jesus is your Savior, He needs to be your King as well. And it's time to descend from our self-made thrones of glory in our own hearts and to give our whole hearts, our whole lives, under His Lordship. I have a statement that's written up there, and I thought it was pretty good. It's not original with me, but it just says this. Jesus is either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. Don't come giving certain compartments of your heart to Jesus and saying, you can be Lord of this. No, He demands to be Lord of all. And so He's either going to be Lord of all in your life, or He's not going to be Lord at all in your life. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know where you are in your walk with God or your understanding of God. But I want to say this. That one day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. And my urgent plea for you today is, if you haven't done that yet, do it now while there's time. Don't wait any longer for this. Don't wait until a day of judgment where God has to make you do that. Do it willingly now. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. If God's leading you to bow a knee to Him this morning, would you do that? Would you surrender your heart in prayer to Him? If you need Him as Savior, if you just need to resubmit yourself to His kingship, would you do that today?